So the Raptors are on, they're on the clock to start playing in a couple of hours. They're tipping off against Orlando tonight down in Orlando. It's a home game, I guess, for the Magic, but not really. I mean, everyone's just in the bubble, and the Raps are off to a great start. And continues tonight right here on TSN Radio. Here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. What have you made of the Raps so far, Josh?
It looked pretty good. I mean, it's interesting to see how teams look, how they fare after all this time off. You've got teams like the Raptors. Indiana's another one that's 3-0. Phoenix, of all teams, not one I would have expected. They're red hot. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have a team like Boston. They're going to be at the forefront of the conversation when it comes to the Raptors over the next few days, simply because of where they sit in the standings. The Raptors basically guaranteed at this point to finish in second, barring something unforeseen, but can make it official tonight. And if they don't make it official tonight, they play Boston on Friday and can clinch it with a win then. The Celtics have not looked good. They've lost two of their first three games. Last night, they lose to a Miami team on the second night of a back-to-back after they lost to the Raptors the other day. And playing without Jimmy Butler, you had Jason Tatum struggling against Milwaukee in the first game. So when you look around the league at some of these teams and some of the issues they're facing, either with the rust that you would expect after the long layoff, or in some cases you've got guys that are hurt, teams that are banged up, teams that are depleted after guys have opted out of the restart. The Raptors right now, I mean, they're the talk of the NBA bubble for reasons related to and outside of basketball, and they've pretty much picked up where they left off. I would say, I mean, maybe even better defensively than we remember them 4.5, 5 months ago, based on their defensive performances against two really good offensive teams in the Lakers and the Heat.
Josh, you mentioned clinching against Orlando, and it's got a totally different meaning now, doesn't it? Now we're talking about the difference of virtual fans as far as home court or anything like that. The players got to be thinking, well, I don't know what kind of advantage this is. We just got to go out and play and try to have the best record we can, and who we get is who we get.
What do you think of all that stuff, guys? Because I posted that on Twitter the other day that, like, I think the piped-in crowd noise is obnoxious. The virtual fans, I mean, it's a novelty. It was cool at first, but people seem to like that stuff.
I like anything. I like anything that somebody came up with that's creative. And if I don't like it, then turn them off.
I like the virtual fans.
Chris Bosh sitting there in a chair.
Yeah,
randomly.
It's added content. It's added creativity. I have been a staunch supporter of the artificial crowd noise as well. I think it's all about the theater of the mind. And I think I find myself, now that we're about a week in of the NBA and the NHL playing games, it is starting to feel normal, and it sounds and feels a little bit more normal. And I've become accustomed to the sounds and the feels and what it's all about, and I like it. You know, I would prefer normalcy, but I like what they've done. I do. I think the NBA has hit an absolute grand slam with the way they're broadcasting games.
It's white noise, though, and that's the thing, is like it doesn't fluctuate, at least with a crowd. Normally, I mean, you hit a big shot and there's reaction from the crowd, either negative or positive, mm-hmm. depending on which team it is. The other day, like, Devin Booker hits that game winner, and it's just the same level, the same noise that you've got in the background. I mean, obviously the fans on the screen were reacting, and that was kind of cool. I don't know. I guess maybe like everything else in this bubble situation, you're going to get used to it. But back to your question, though, I mean, it depends how much you think these things, or people think these things, are a factor. But I mean, home court advantage, I mean, obviously is not what it used to be. But even still, it's interesting, because I keep going back and forth, and we've talked about it before over the last few weeks too, on how much the second seed matters. And so much of it, I think, has hinged on Indiana and their situation, because when we got news initially that Victor Oladipo was not going to play in the restart, then Sabonis gets hurt, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe Indiana's not so daunting. They're going to fall to sixth. If the Raptors were to somehow fall to third, that's not the end of the world, because there's no home court advantage. But Indiana, I mentioned them earlier, they've been really impressive and sort of given me the Raptors vibes recently, where it's like it doesn't matter who's in and who's out for them. They
well,
play hard.
TJ
They're
Warren
well-coached.
Has changed everything, though, Josh.
TJ Warren is the MVP of the bubble
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. I mean, he had a great year, really too. Good. I don't know how many people realize, like, his number, he had quality numbers. Like, he looked pretty consistent and pretty good for Indiana. But this is ridiculous what he's doing.
So I don't want to play Indiana if I'm the Raptors. I don't want to play. I certainly don't want to play Philadelphia if I'm the Raptors, even though they've been a bit of a disaster this year. I mean, they're still crazy talented. They've got size at every position, which the Raptors have had trouble with before. So I think that's a huge difference coming in second. That's the difference potentially between a quick 4 or 5 game series against Orlando or Brooklyn and then having some time off to chill and rest before the second round compared to a hard-fought, grueling 6 or 7 game series against Indiana or Philadelphia, which is what Boston or Miami could be facing. And then all of a sudden you go into the second round tired and banged up. That could be a huge advantage going forward into the rest of the playoffs.
With Josh Lewenberger, Raptors reporter, Raptors Magic, tip off at 8 right here on TSN Radio tonight. I have been debating with myself and also talking about it and debating on the air throughout the year the price tag for Fred VanVleet. And off the air, I have been convinced he's going to get close to a max deal. And I have not had the stones to say it on the air. But now I'm willing to go there. I think it's going to be close. I think if the Raptors aren't willing to get close, I think another team will. I think with the cap being flat, that limits kind of where he's where that number might eventually get to for him. But this dude is a legit stud, like a yes. legit winner and a legit stud. He changes the attitude of your team, the mood of your team. There are too many bad teams in this league that have money to spend, that would spend it in many, many worse ways than Fred VanVleet. I think the Raptors have to be prepared to pay him and pay him a lot. Where do you see this going?
I keep going back and forth on that as well because I think, like, more than anything else, and this is usually the case, especially with guys that aren't a clear max player, and Fred isn't a clear max player, it's going to come down to the market. And this is going to be a really interesting free agent year. It already wasn't supposed to be very good. You've got a sort of a watered-down group of players where, I mean, Fred could be the best player on the market potentially. And then as a result of that, you've got a lot of teams that looked ahead to this offseason and they're like, okay, well, there's not a lot of players out there. They're looking ahead to the summer of 2021 and saving their money for that. So you basically got 5 or 6 teams that figure to have significant cap space during the offseason, and only 2 of them have a real need at the guard position. I say guard because it doesn't necessarily need to be point guard. The Raptors don't play Fred at point guard technically, but some of these teams are loaded at the guard position. So we're really looking at, I think, the Pistons and the Knicks. So it comes down to ultimately how much those two teams value Fred VanVleet and how much Fred VanVleet would be willing to go to either of those teams to take a bit more money and to be part of a rebuild and a losing club. It only takes one. So maybe one of those teams, maybe Dwayne Casey and the Pistons say, okay, well, we want to build around Fred, and they go out there and they offer him a max deal or they offer him $25 million or whatever. I just think that There isn't going to be a lot of teams that are financially capable of breaking the bank to pay him. So I don't think it's going to be a bidding war necessarily. And I also don't think the Raptors are going to bet against compete against themselves to give him more money. We saw that with Kyle Lowry a few years ago. You sort of read the market, read the room, and give him whatever the value is. So I'm still thinking it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 22, unless, of course, one of those teams really decides to go all in on Fred.
Yeah, and I would expect it. I really would. And Detroit in particular, they cannot get free agents. They can't. So they have to pay a bit of a tax anyway. So if
you're one of those bad teams, you're probably not going to get. You're not going to get Giannis. You're not going to get one.
No,
of
you're not getting
them. In 2021.
You're not
so
getting
why not
them.
Spend it now?
Exactly. That's my exactly. And if Fred goes, listen, you offered me 20. If you make it 25, I'm coming. They'll make it 25.
You know, throw 18 in his face, he's going to laugh at you.
Exactly.
Any team.
Any team. Yeah. And that's my concern, especially this team. If they run it back again, he's going to say, "Pay me."
Like, and it's interesting with Fred. He's a loyal guy, obviously. He loves Toronto, but he's also an incredibly smart businessman. And let's face it, he's earned the right to say, okay, I want as much money as I can possibly get out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And Josh, he has an agent.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
They always do. Yeah, right. I mean, plan the market. That's what you should be doing. So, listen, cherish it while it's here and while it's ongoing. I would like to believe they'll find a way to make that happen. But if he's a free agent and the money comes calling, anything could happen. So, you know, they really got to catch lightning in a bottle here, and they're well on the way to doing that. Again, it continues tonight. Raptors, Orlando, down at Disney. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Lewenberger, Raptors reporter. Fred's going to cost money. Like, he was going to cost money anyway, but, man, he performs the way he did the other night, and he continues to perform like that throughout a playoff run again. Someone is going to – like, it could be the Knicks. The Knicks would offer him maybe a max deal. They can't get anybody, and they're New York, and they need help, and they need help with that position. Same thing with Detroit. I wouldn't be shocked if Chicago, his hometown team, at least kicks some tires on VanVleet.